heard about a small family bookstore. It had been in business for generations. In fact, everyone in the city loved this little bookstore. But as the city grew and as it was modernized, some of these big name stores started moving in. One big chain bookstore in particular started buying up real estate all around this little bookstore. Before you know it, they owned every property on the block except one. That little family bookstore refused to sell. One day, the corporate representative called the man who owned the little bookstore, and he said, "Sir, whether you sell or not, we're building our bookstore on your block. And if you don't sell now, you'll go out of business as soon as our store opens." The old bookstore owner stood his ground and said, "I'm still not selling." So the big chain bookstore, they started construction, and since they couldn't buy the little bookstore in the middle of the block, they built their big store all the way around that little bookstore. It was surrounded on all three sides. Finally, it came time for the big new bookstore to open, and they had spent thousands of dollars in advertising their new location. They put a big, giant banner across the whole front of the building that said, "Grand Opening." Mm-hmm. So the old man put a banner over his front door that said, "Main Entrance." The old man was surrounded, but he was determined to win. Here in 1 Kings chapter 20, Israel is surrounded by a great army. Ahab and Ben-Hadad are at war. Ahab is the king of Israel, and Ben-Hadad is the king of Syria. And at this point in 1 Kings chapter 20, Syria had all but won the war. Okay? Ben-Hadad and his army surrounded Samaria, the capital of Israel, and he demanded terms of surrender from the Israelites. This is what the Syrian king demanded. He demanded the best of their silver, their gold, their wives, and their children. This was a very high price for the people of Israel to pay, but King Ahab agreed to the terms. You see, Ahab and Jezebel were all about power and position. Ahab figured that if he gave the Syrian king what he wanted, then maybe he'd let Ahab stay on the throne. But then Ben-Hadad decided he was going to take even more. Listen, anytime you compromise with the enemy, it will cost you more than you're willing to pay. He sent word to Ahab and said, "I'm sending my men to your house, and they're going to take whatever they want." And then Ahab draws a line. Oh, he was okay when they came after the people, but now they're coming after his palace. You see, Ahab was a little selfish, y'all. It was okay to make the people pay, but he didn't want to give up his stuff. If you want to give the enemy access to your life, you don't have to have a seance or play Ouija boards. Amen. All you have to do is be selfish. Bible says in James 3:16, "Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Amen. Ahab selfishly refused to let Ben-Hadad take whatever he wanted. So Ahab and Ben-Hadad enter into a battle of words, kind of like yo mama, right? Ahab said, "Yo mama's so dumb, she thought Dunkin' Donuts was a basketball team." Ben-Hadad said, "Oh yeah, well your mama's so ugly, she signed up for an ugly contest." And they said, "Sorry ma'am, no professionals." Ben-Hadad said, "Oh yeah, well your mama's so dumb, she saw a sign that said airport left, so she turned around and went home." They were just hurling insults back and forth. That may not be exactly what the Bible says, but I'm kind of giving you the idea of what's going on here. Ben-Hadad said, "I'm going to beat you up and I'm going to turn Samaria into dust." And Ahab said, "It ain't over till the fat lady sings." That's a paraphrase. You can read it. That's kind of what he said. All right. Ahab talked a big talk, but Israel was in serious trouble. Ben-Hadad had an alliance of 32 kings to fight against Israel. They were surrounded. They were outnumbered and the people were afraid. And in the middle of all this, a man of God comes to Ahab. Listen to what he says. 1 Kings verse 13, chapter 20. Suddenly, a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, saying, "Thus says the Lord, have you seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Think about this. Ahab gets a word from God that was right on time. We're talking about Ahab, y'all. The same Ahab that married Jezebel. Ahab was not a good man. There was nothing godly about Ahab, but yet God spoke to him. Did you know God speaks to sinners too, y'all? Yes. Ahab was, by any definition, a wicked king. In fact, the Bible says he did more evil than any king before him. But Ahab's failure wasn't because God didn't speak to him. His failure was that when God spoke, he didn't listen. Think about it. What's the last thing that God said to you? Ooh, it got quiet in this Presbyterian church today. Even the crickets got quiet. What's the last thing that God told you to do? Right. See, sometimes we get in trouble when we're not listening to what God is saying to us. Church, don't ignore his voice. Listen to what he says and do what he tells you to do. I like how Jesus put it. He said in John 14, 15, "If you love me, do what I say." Ahab had ignored the voice of God many times, and still God in his mercy sends a message of hope to Israel. "Thus says the Lord, have you seen this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into your hand today, and you shall know that I am the Lord." They were outnumbered. They were surrounded, yet God promised them victory. Yes, ooh, that's the God I serve. Amen. Doesn't matter how strong the enemy is. It doesn't matter how many stand against you. It doesn't matter how mighty their weapons may be. God is more than able to defeat all the power of the enemy. Amen. Come on, tell somebody he's more than able. Come on, tell somebody like you mean it. He's more than able. But here's the thing. The battle comes before the breakthrough.
Yes, it does.
The battle comes before the breakthrough. God promised Ahab the victory, but it was up to Ahab to set the battle in order. In other words, you still have to fight.
Yes.
Tell somebody, sometimes you got to fight. Notice God did not say, "I will deliver the enemy into my hand."
All right.
He said, "I'll deliver them into your hand." In other words, I'll give you the victory, but you have to fight the battle.
That's
why the Apostle Paul said, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." In other words, you confess Jesus as your Savior. Now it's time to fight. Put your war clothes on. Amen. So if you're facing a battle, here's how you prepare for victory. Three things you need to do right now. Number one, it's time to listen to the voice of God.
Yes, it is.
It's time to listen to the voice of God. When you read 1 Kings chapter 20, in the beginning of that chapter, all you hear about is what Ben-Hadad says. In other words, they've only heard what the enemy has been saying. The enemy says, "Your silver is mine." The enemy says, "Your gold is mine. Your wives and children are mine." Hide your wife, hide your kids. The enemy says, "Your money is mine. Your family is mine. Your stuff is mine." The enemy says, "I'll turn your city into dust." All they heard was, "This is what the enemy said." But suddenly a prophet comes in the house and declares, "This is what the Lord says." Oh, the enemy said, "You're going to die. But God says you're going to live." The enemy says you're broke, but God says my hand is on you and I'm going to bless you. The enemy says your marriage is over, but God said I'm restoring everything that the enemy stole. The enemy says give up and quit, but God says keep fighting. The enemy says you can't win, but God says you can't lose. Enemy says you're outgunned, but God said no weapon formed against you will prosper. Child of God, when you have a word from the Lord, your condition is not your conclusion. Sickness may be your condition, but it's not your conclusion. For Isaiah 53:5, the word of God says, by his stripes we are healed. Debt may be your condition, but it's not your conclusion. Deuteronomy 28:12 says, I will make you the lender and not the borrower, the head and not the tail, above only, not beneath. Addiction may be your condition, but it's not your conclusion. Jesus said, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Sin may be your condition, but it's not your conclusion. Romans 8:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. Death may be your condition, but that's not your conclusion either. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. You've got a resurrection power inside of you. Tell somebody, your condition is not your conclusion. Look, you've listened to the enemy long enough. Now it's time to listen to what God has to say. If you want victory in your life, you need to listen to the word of God. Last week I talked about Caleb and Joshua. They were men of great faith because they believed what God said. The 10 spies said, we can't do it, we won't make it. But Joshua and Caleb were the ones who stood up and said, we can do this. Think about it. They were outnumbered 5-1. For every word of faith that you declare, the devil will send 5 people into your life to tell you it can't happen. You can't do it. You'll never make it. You have to make up your mind, which report will you believe? Isaiah 53 says, who has believed our report? Into whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You might be outnumbered 5-1, but God plus you is a majority. And if God is for you, who can be against you? If you believe in God for victory in your life, you better get in an atmosphere of faith. You better surround yourself with some Joshuas and some Calebs. Because there will always be people giving you a negative report. Think about the man who got a phone call from his doctor. And his doctor said, I've got bad news and I've got worse news. He said, well, break it to me easy. Tell me the bad news first. He said, the bad news is you have 24 hours to live. And he said, what could possibly be worse than that? Tell me the worst news. He said, the worst news is I've been trying to reach you since about this time yesterday. Oh, boy. There will be always be people in your life giving you negative, bad reports. But you have to surround yourself with people who are going to speak life and stand on the word of God. Find somebody who will believe the report of the Lord. I heard an amazing true story about a missionary named Norma Gardner. Norma Gardner and her husband Andy were serving as missionaries in Africa. And one day, as they concluded their church meeting, their prayer meeting, she sat on a wooden bench in the hot African sun as her husband stood before the congregation and said, I'm sorry, but me and my 29-year-old wife, we have to leave the mission field and go back to the United States. See, Norma had been diagnosed with cancer. German doctors had confirmed it, and they said, you have about 3 months to live. Norma stood up in front of the African congregation, and she opened her Bible. She said, God has given me a word. She read from Psalm 118:17, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The doctors already said you're going to die. And she said, well, that's one report, but I'm going to choose to believe God's report. So she stood on Psalm 118:17. In her heart, she believed that her work was not finished. So Norma and Andy arrived in New York City, and the doctors confirmed that malignant cancer has spread all throughout her body. They said there was little hope for treatment. They immediately wanted to do a hysterectomy to remove the largest tumors, but Norma had been praying for children for years, and she said, don't do it. She knew what God had promised her in her word, and she refused to take no for an answer. So she continued to pray and stand on God's promise. Now her family, they were not people of faith. Immediately, you know what they did? They started planning her funeral. And y'all got friends like that? Come on, talking about, I got a cold. Well, I sure am gonna miss you. Won't be the same without you. Can I have your CD player? Come on, her family was planning her funeral. And she refused to discuss funeral plans with them. She said, I am not going to die. I'm going to live. 6 weeks later, she went back for a follow-up exam, and the doctors could not believe what they found. Norma was completely cancer-free. There was no sign that she'd ever even had cancer because God had completely healed her. She came into New York with a death sentence over her life, and 6 months later, they went back to Africa and served another 30 years on the mission field. And the story doesn't stop there. God blessed them with 3 children. 2 of them are missionaries in Africa, and the 3rd is in ministry here in the United States. The enemy said, you're going to die. But she chose to believe the report of the Lord. I will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. If you want to see the impossible happen in your life, you got to make up your mind. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what my friends say. All that matters is what God said, and I choose to believe His report. God said it, that settles it. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has, we're not crazy, y'all. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. People say you're crazy for believing God. I say you're crazy to not believe that. You want to see victory in your life? Number one, it's time to listen to the voice of God. Number two, it's time to set things in order. 1 Kings 20:14, Ahab said, by whom? Thus saith the Lord, by the young leaders of the provinces. If you're young, don't let your age discourage you. God can do anything through you too. Amen. Amen. Last week we talked about Caleb, who was 85 years old, and God used the young people to defeat Syria against Israel. Then Ahab said, who will set the battle in order? The prophet answered and said, you. God said, I'm going to bring the victory, but you have to set things in order. That means in order for us to walk in victory, we have to get some things in order in our lives. Oh, I know that strength comes when we wait on the Lord, but guess what? Sometimes the Lord is waiting on us. It's time to get yourself in order. If you're a single guy and you want to be married and you're standing on the promise, God promised me a wife, well, that's great. God's going to give you that victory, but you've got to set the battle in order. Here's the suggestion. Take a bath every once in a while. Try brushing your teeth and wearing a little bit of deodorant. Stop playing video games all day. Get a job and move out of your mama's basement. If you want victory, you've got to set things in order. Ain't took a bath since 1997. Go and do those things that God told you to do. Make the decision that you're going to serve God with your whole heart and you're going to give Him your whole life. Don't hold back any more. You've got to set things in order. I know you're not shouting right now, but God's talking to somebody. You've got to set the battle in order. If you want to have victory in your life, you've got to do things right. You've got to do things God's way. There's some changes you're going to have to make in your life. You can't blame the devil on all your problems. Well, the devil made my car blow up. No, Suge, you ain't changed the oil in 10 years. Can't blame the devil. Blame the devil on everything. We have a lot of problems in our life because we're not setting things in order. I heard a ouch on the front row over there. I think about what Joshua told the people of Israel the day before they went to conquer the promised land. He said, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." When you're expecting victory in your life, you have to make some preparations. When I found out that my wife was with child, we had to make, not right now, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, we had to make some preparations, okay? Got a word from the Lord, yes! Multiplying! I fill all the volunteer positions one way or another. When I found out that a baby was coming, I said, well, we got to do some preparation. We had to set some things in order. We had to get rid of all of our sharp, pointy objects. We had to get a crib and get all these things and read some books and talk to parents. And we had to make some plans. All right. Listen, you can't expect to have victory in your life if you're not preparing yourself to walk in victory. He said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What does the word sanctify mean? It means to be set apart. If mama made some biscuits and we were sitting at the table and I felt like my brother was going to get the biscuit off my plate, I'd lick my finger and stick it right in the middle of it. I sanctified the biscuit. That biscuit belongs to me. When you sanctify yourselves, that means that you are coming out from the world and out from the ways of this world, that you're not doing the same old stuff you used to do before you were a Christian. You've got to do some personal preparation for what God wants to do in your life. Did y'all know that when you're a Christian, you're just automatically weird? You cannot go back to living a normal life once you've had a taste of the goodness of God. Come on, y'all. You can't, listen, you can go back to the bar you used to go to, and every sip would make you want to vomit. You can go back to the club, and you can try to get your old dance moves going on. They have your jams playing on the speakers, and you're miserable inside. You can go get high, smoke that dope, and everybody else is seeing visions of Jerry Garcia and Jimi Hendrix, but you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob saying, you better go back to church. You don't belong here. When you've tasted the goodness of God, you'll never be happy in the world. So quit trying to fit in and sanctify yourself and watch what God can do in your life. Amen. God has good things in store for you. But are you willing to set things in order? I was at a hospital waiting room one time, and I saw this little boy go up to the vending machine, and he put a dollar in the vending machine, and he kept pushing the button for a Pepsi. He kept pushing the button, banging on the vending machine, but there was a big sign up top that said, out of order. No matter how much time and energy and resources you put into something, if it's out of order, you'll never get anything out of it. If you need a breakthrough in your finances, you need to get things in order. Leviticus 27:30 says, all the tithe is the Lord's. It belongs to him. Malachi 3:10, bring the tithes into the storehouse and then God will open up the windows of heaven. It's not the other way around. Talking about, Pastor, I'll start tithing if I win the lotto. No, Suge, if you ain't tithing on the 50 cent you got in the bank, you're not going to tithe on $50 million. It's not about how much money you have in the account. It's about the condition of your heart. And listen to this, you can't tithe and then go be terrible with the rest of your money either. God won't still won't bless that. If you're struggling, you don't need a $1,500 iPhone. You might need to get a Jitterbug flip phone. Use wisdom, y'all. Get your business in order. Man, it got quiet in here. You know what? You ain't got to be wearing Nikes everywhere you go. Get you some cookies. They'll keep your feet dry. I better keep going before y'all start throwing stuff at me. It's time to get your business. Amen. Time to get your business in order. Come on, y'all. If it's out of order, you won't get any blessings out of it anyway. If you're in a relationship that doesn't honor God, you need to get that thing in order. Come on, don't be dating and fornicating. Sanctify yourself. Repent and get things in order in your life. I'm just going to point number three. Musicians, y'all can come. I better quit while I'm behind here. If you're going to walk in victory, number one, listen to the voice of God. Number two, set things in order. Number three, trust that God has never lost a battle. Trust that God has never lost a battle. The prophet told Ahab, I will deliver it into your hands today, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Listen to me, no matter what your condition, no matter what your circumstances are, God wants you to know that He is Lord. God has never lost a battle. Psalm 24:8, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Come on, say, God never loses a battle. I read the Old Testament, I see Israel lost plenty of battles. But God never lost a battle. They were never defeated when they did it God's way. One of my favorite passages in the Old Testament is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The nation of Judah was surrounded by the Ammonites, the Moabites, and Mount Seir. Completely surrounded. And King Jehoshaphat said, we're going to fast and pray. The whole nation came together to fast and pray and to seek God. And while they were seeking God, the Spirit of the Lord came on a man named Jehaziel. And he stood up and said, thus saith the Lord, the battle is not yours, but mine. And they did an amazing thing. God told him, I want you to send the praisers into the battle. So they marched into battle. They weren't armed with weapons. They were armed with praise, singing, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. And while they sang the high praises of God, the Bible says that God set ambushes among the enemy. And while they were praising God, the enemy destroyed itself. God has never lost a battle. Child of God, you have that power in your life. When you feel like you're surrounded by the enemy, when you feel like you're going to be destroyed, you can just lift up your voice and say, you know what? God is still good and His mercy endures forever. My God is good. My God is faithful. My God is strong. My God is mighty than battle. And He will not fail. Listen to His word. Set things in order. Trust Him to win the battle. Will you stand as we pray this morning? Lord, we thank You that there is power in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You that there is power in Your word. And God, I pray for everyone listening in this moment, Lord, that You would open up their ears to hear, God, what You say. Lord, may the voice of the enemy be silenced in Your presence. Lord, help us, God, not to focus on all the evil reports, all the negative reports. God, help us, Lord, to look past all the voices that say that you're going to fail, that you're never going to make it, and you don't have any hope. Lord, help us, God, despite the noise around us, help us, God, to focus on what you say. Lord, to focus on your word, to focus on your promises. Lord, I thank you, God, for faith just rising up within us, God, as we trust you. Lord, as we stand on your word. And Lord, we pray in this moment, in this season, in this battle, help us, Lord, to set things in order. God, I thank you, Lord, that your grace is greater than any sin. Lord, I thank you that your grace is sufficient, God, to overcome these struggles that we have. God, to overcome the things in our lives that are not in order. God, give us the faith. Give us the boldness. Give us the audacity, God, to set our lives in order. God, if there's any area where we're not submitted to the authority of your word, if there's any area where we're not doing things your way, God, forgive us and help us and give us the strength, God, to do what's right. I thank you, Lord, that as we trust your word and as we set things in order and as we stand in faith, Lord, I thank you that you have promised us the victory. As you continue to pray, I want you to think about this. They defeated Syria, but then Syria came back another time. You see, the Syrians were idol worshipers. They had a pagan god for everything. They had the god of the hills and god of the rivers and god of the streams. And Ben-Hadad thought he had a clever idea. He said, you know what? We attacked Israel in the mountains. They defeated us. Maybe the god of the mountains isn't god of the valley.
All right.
So they came back again and they attacked them in the valley. And they were utterly destroyed. Well, sometimes it's easy to praise God on the mountaintop. It's easy to shout hallelujah when everything's going right. But child of God, you need to know that he's still God even when things are going wrong. Maybe you're going through a valley right now. I want you to know that the God of the mountains is still God of the valley. He is God and he has not changed. And he is more than able to deliver you right now where you are. Our God is mighty in battle. Thank you, Lord, for strength. Thank you, God, for faith to press forward. Thank you, Lord, for faith to trust you even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, I thank you because you're with us. We don't have to be afraid of evil. We don't have to fear the enemy. Lord, you bring comfort and strength to us and that we have hope for victory in every season. And Lord, we're going to trust you. God, we're going to take you at your word. We're going to let you be true and let every man be a liar. Lord, your word is true and you will prevail. We thank you, Lord. Today, while we're praying, maybe you're here and your life isn't in order at all. Maybe you're here and you're not following Jesus. Listen, Jesus came to save us from our sins. And we all needed saving. Every one of us. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means we've all messed up. We've all missed the mark. But God, in his infinite mercy, sent Jesus to set things right. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for you and me. God raised him from the dead so that all the world could know that the price was sufficient. He paid our debt in full. And he offers forgiveness, freedom, and eternal life to all who would come to him. I want to lead you in a simple prayer to help you start your journey of faith in Jesus this morning. Just pray this prayer by faith today. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, help me. Set my life in order. Make me brand new. And with your help, I'll live for you. I'll follow you. I'll trust you the rest of my life. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray that prayer a minute with your heart, you've made the greatest decision of your life.